You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is the podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reen Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, thanks for holding it down yesterday, and now we are back together, how it should be.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. I want to tell you, I was at the grocery store today, and I wasn't necessarily dressed up in a theme, but the fact is, all of my clothes and all of my masks are Dodgers themed, and so I was wearing a Dodgers t-shirt and a Dodgers hoodie and a Dodgers mask and a Dodgers hat, and I was standing in an aisle looking at black beans, I believe. And I heard a little toddler behind me say, "Dada." And I hear a mom say, "No, that's not daddy." And the little girl said, "Daddy." And she said, "No, that's not daddy." So I turned around and I said to the girl, "Your dad must be pretty handsome if you think he's me." And the mom said, "No, he just always wears Dodger clothes." And I don't think she was intending to say that both I and her husband are unattractive, but that's what I took away from it.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not after that comment? Yep. But you are handsome, Jeff. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what the lady told you. And you wear Dodger stuff, so you know, have two redeeming qualities about yourself.
Yep.
All right, today we're going to talk about a few things, mainly third baseman and not just Justin Turner, but a couple others. LA Times article came out and has provided some things that we can talk about, so it's perfect timing for us. But before we get into all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Starting off with a little bit of some down news. It came out Monday night that Sandra Scully, aka Sandy Scully, the wife of Dodgers Vince Scully, passed away at the age of 76. She had been dealing with ALS. She's been married to Vin since 1973. And she had, I believe, 6 children and 21 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. But yeah, I mean, obviously we have seen her with Vin throughout the years at times, either on the field, in the booth, whatever it was. So, you know, we obviously want to offer our thoughts and prayers and positivity and all that good stuff to Vin and the Scully family.
Yeah, I didn't know, and I don't know if it was common knowledge that I just missed or not, but I didn't know that she had ALS, and so I was caught off guard when it happened. And yeah, this is two wives that Vin has outlived now, both of whom were actually quite a bit younger than him. She was, I think, 16 or 17 years younger than him, and his first wife was about a decade younger than him, too. And so, yeah, it's tough time, and so obviously, like you said, our thoughts are with him and his family. And I dread the day that we get that news about Vin himself, but I'm hoping for another 10 years or so at least.
All right, let's move on. So Justin Turner, an article came out by Jorge Castillo, the LA Times, and it had a couple things in it, but we'll start with Justin Turner. It says Justin Turner seeks a 4-year contract on the market, according to people with knowledge of the situation. He added that the Dodgers do not want to give him a deal longer than 2 years. There's been debate on social media of, you know, what exactly all this means. But Jeff, now we get to give our opinions on it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for JT to ask for that. But it's hard for me to picture any team giving him 4 years. And definitely not the Dodgers. And I could see them compromising, and the Dodgers going with, you know, 2 years and an option that is reasonably attainable if he plays well, because that's really the concern. I mean, he's 36 years old right now, and so paying him till he's 40, or more to the point, playing him till he's 40, you'd want some sort of assurance that he's going to be decent. And so I still kind of think what will end up happening is the Dodgers will work out a 2-year deal with a you know, a third year mutual option or a third year vesting option or something. And, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility they would give him a 4-year deal just to spread out the money. Like I think I talked about it on yesterday's show, you know, the possibility of spreading out money over a longer period of time just to lower the average annual value or whatever. I don't think JT himself even expects to get a 4-year deal, but that's how free agency works. You start high because you want to not end up too low.
And that's basically what it is. I don't think there's too much reason to believe that in this economy and in this state of baseball that Justin Turner will command a 4-year deal at that age, even if the DH is adopted in the National League. You know, you talked about a little bit yesterday, his power numbers were down. We're not quite sure if that's just him starting the season. He struggled with velocity a little bit this year, which he could maybe work on, but it's also just a possibility that he's getting a little bit older and losing a little bit of that step. But yeah, 4 years from him, the Dodgers say no more than 2. So realistically, like I said, something around 2 years with an option or even 3 years is something that's realistic and something that they probably can still do pretty easily. I don't think he's going to be commanding, you know, an insane amount of money. So maybe the 4 years spread out, the AAV is something they do get under. They will be close to the luxury tax this year, but then they kind of get some relief after this year and they can get back under it if they want to, or have that flexibility if a guy like Turner and then maybe Kershaw in the future take similar deals to that. So we'll see how it goes, but I don't see it too much more than negotiating tactics on Turner's side. And obviously the Dodgers, just for the simple fact that Turner's 36 and they will have people coming up in the next few years, you would imagine that they don't want to offer him much more than that.
Yeah, one thing that did surprise me, looking at JT's numbers, according to StatCast, he actually had his best hard hit percentage of his career in 2020. He had his highest barrel percentage. His max exit velocity was right in line basically with his career, and his average exit velocity was right in line with his career. It definitely seemed to our eyeballs like the power was down and the home runs were down. The one thing that I noticed is his average launch angle was the lowest it's been in a few years. And so maybe it's something along those lines. But yeah, I was surprised that his bat speed exit velocities weren't as down as I thought they had been.
Could be a small sample size. It could be something more. We're not really sure, but hopefully we get to find out, and that means he sticks around. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the other options at third base that were mentioned in that article. Some that we've talked about, one that we haven't talked about. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Are we ready for football and basketball? The people that bet are. And if you're one of those people, we have the one place that has you covered, the one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. NFL playoffs, college football, final game, NBA season's in full spring. There's soccer. There's basically anything you can bet on. They can find it. There's sports going on. You can bet on it. And you can do so with the 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. If you need a part for your car, you can go to rockauto.com and probably find it. They have a lot of auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, from engine control modules to tail lamps, motor oil, carpet, whatever you need. You got it in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And they have the best pricing. They don't have special pricing like some of these brick and mortar stores. They have the same pricing for everybody. So even if you're a mechanic or just someone that's going to look up YouTube videos on how to replace something, RockAuto.com has the best price for you. If you do use RockAuto.com and they ask you, how did you hear about us, you write "Locked On" in the little box and let them know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. 2020 is finally over, and it's time for a fresh start and maybe some wins in your future. If you're betting this year and you want more of those wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Jeff, let's hop right into this discussion. Just because we're going to have a few guys to talk about, some that we already have, some we haven't. So in the rest of the article, it mentions DJ LeMahieu as being atop the list of other options for third base or infield situation beyond Turner. It also mentions that there's four third basemen available via trade, it would seem, with Chris Bryant, Eugenio Suarez, Mike Moustakas, and Kyle Seager. Moustakas and Seager don't necessarily fit because of their left-handed hitters. And of the four, they're probably the two bottom two anyways. So it leaves Bryant and Suarez. As we know, Chris Bryant's set to become a free agent after this year. He may come a little cheaper with the Cubs, depending on how you look at it. But Eugenio Suarez is 29, became a pretty big power hitter, and has a pretty team-friendly contract the rest of the way. You talked about Luis Castillo yesterday, so potentially part of a deal where they could squeeze both in, but if not, at least one of them in. The Reds seem to be slashing payroll, don't care about winning the division. But the Reds have also been burned by the Dodgers trades before, so maybe they're not as open to trading with the Dodgers. But all that to give you the floor and whoever you want to talk about.
Yeah, Suarez is an interesting one to me. My biggest concern about Suarez, there's things I like about him. Like you said, he's youngish. He's under contract for 4 or 5 more years. There's a team option for that fifth year. And it is relatively reasonable salary-wise, definitely for a team like the Dodgers. If he's going to keep playing that way, that might be an advantage, you know, because it is, you know, seven figures. And so maybe the Reds, if they're looking to cut salary, it might be something that could work in the Dodgers' favor. My big concern about Suarez, two concerns. One, he's not great defensively. The last couple of years, he's been not great, we'll say. He used to be a shortstop, and then he was a good fielding third baseman. But the last couple of years, he's been below average. And my biggest concern about him is I'm not sure if he's a good hitter. And basically, when the ball got juiced, he became a stud power hitter. And I'm worried that if the ball goes back to normal, he goes back to being the hitter he was before the juice ball. You know, in his first three seasons, but the equivalent of two full seasons, he had an OPS plus of 95. He had 38 home runs in 1,300 plate appearances, which is, you know, about 20, less than 20 a season. And then the ball got juiced and he became a great power hitter. And we never know what MLB is going to do about the ball. And so that's my big concern about Suarez is, what if he's not actually a good hitter? He's just good at taking advantage of the juiced ball. And if the juiced ball goes away, you know, and then he also strikes out a ton. And I'm definitely in the camp that a lot of the time a strikeout isn't any worse than any other kind of out, but sometimes it is. And I think that, it's something about a guy who strikes out 200 times a year and may or may not be a good hitter. Obviously that's the worst possible light to paint him in. But if that is the version that they got, I wouldn't be very happy about it. And I think there's at least some chance that that's who he is as a player.
Yeah. Without knowing too much about his early years right off the bat, I'm not sure. Maybe he went through a swing change and that also coincided with the bobbing juice in order to kind of get that up. We've seen guys with the Dodgers, Muncie, Taylor, just to name a couple of that, did change their swing a little bit, but you know, also have been very successful in that same era of juice balls. So it could go either way. I'm not really sure yet, and I don't know. I haven't seen anything written about it, so I don't. It might have just been he was a benefactor of it. But yeah, I think with Suarez, it's interesting. The Reds are probably going to ask a lot for him just based on the fact that he has a team-friendly contract. Like I said, the Dodgers maybe have a little bit of a different tax just based on some recent trades with them, more specifically the most recent trade when the Dodgers got Josiah Gray and Jeter Downs for basically salary dumping. And defensively, that's always a concern. But with Justin Turner, who we know is solid defensively but has been susceptible to some lapses in the past couple years, he seemed to step it up in the playoffs, but not sure if that's something more of a focus because he was in the playoffs and they had super focus, or he gained a step, whatever it was. He's had some struggles as well. Edwin Rios has really picked up his game at third base recently, but he never really was a defensive prospect coming up. So there's concerns the same as anyone else in that regard. So that one doesn't bother me too much. You know, coming to a team like the Dodgers where the guys are always working hard and working at the craft to get better, maybe that could help him as well. But yeah, I don't think he is a for sure, home run type of deal, but he's a guy that gives you some years and could lengthen the Dodgers lineup even more with power. Obviously, he's not as good a hitter as Justin Turner, just pure hitting, but he did have 49 home runs in 2019 and 34 the year before. So pretty good on that end. But yeah, I think the other one is Chris Bryant. Yeah, I don't. We talked about him a little bit before, but I just don't think he really excites any of us, or I may be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, Bryant is kind of the opposite of Turner. When I was looking at exit velocities and everything, he in 2020 had a career low average exit velocity, a career low max exit velocity, a career low barrel percentage by a lot, and a career low hard hit percentage, and a career high launch angle. And launch angle, higher isn't always better, especially if you're not hitting the balls hard. And so you end up with he used to hit fly balls about 40% of the time, and last year was 45% of the time, and his home run per fly ball basically was cut in half, from 18% to 9.8% from 2019 to 2020. And some of that could be injuries or whatever, and maybe it's something he'll bounce back from. He is still relatively young, not as young as sometimes people think he is, but he's only 29 years old. And so he's relatively young and could bounce back. But Bryant, I think there's a chance that he could be pretty good. But like you said, he doesn't excite me. It's only 1 year. And so I could see if they had decided they think Nolan Arenado is going to opt out and the Dodgers want to go after him after next year, I could see maybe going after Bryant on a 1 year, as just a stopgap. But I'd be really surprised if Chris Bryant ends up a Dodger.
Yeah, same over here. And I don't know if it was this article or another article that I read and said that the Cubs might be looking to get more for Bryant because of how they got ridiculed for the Darvish trade, which you mentioned was a little bit better in hindsight than a lot of people thought. But either way, with the Cubs and Bryant, yeah, I just don't see it. The one-year thing is the only way I can kind of see it. If it prospect haul is small and they don't end up getting Turner, they don't end up, it's too much for Suarez, and they do need somebody just for the 1 year. They're not really ready to give Edwin Rios an everyday job. I can see it in that sense. But that's really the only way I can see them going after Bryant. And there's not really anything else on the Cubs that they can kind of try to get a two package deal. Hendricks is over there, starting pitcher, but he's maybe the number four or five guy in this Dodgers rotation anyway, so that's not really help. I don't believe the Cubs have any big contracts that they're trying to unload either, which the Dodgers can do. But and also the other fact is the Dodgers aren't necessarily looking for that either. I believe they're going to try as hard as they can to maybe stay under the luxury tax checks for the fact that they can do it if they really want to. I don't think it's going to stop them from getting anyone crazy. But I do think if that's kind of the way, I don't think they'll attach anyone in order to take on more money. So, yeah, I don't really see Chris Bryant being a valid option, whether it's for the fact that just because he's not as good and we're not quite sure if that's because injuries or not, or just the simple fact that he's only one more year and whatever it's going to cost.
Yeah, and maybe we're overthinking this and we could have summed it up in he's the most expensive and the least good. Of the options, I was looking, by the way, while you were talking, not that I wasn't listening to you, I can multitask, but Suarez did have a swing change going into the 2018 season, or the 2017 season, I mean, which is when he became a good hitter. And I found an article on Beyond the Box Score from early 2017 that actually shows the difference. And there's definitely a difference there. And that makes me feel a little bit better about him. I've always been skeptical of him, but I'd never really looked into it much, what he's done. And I just assumed he was a fluke. And the fact that there is a specific change he made, and it happened at the time that he became better, that's what we have with Justin Turner and Chris Taylor and those guys, like you mentioned. And so that gives me more confidence that he might actually be good. And with the Dodgers hitting staff, maybe LA would be the perfect place for Suarez to improve on that even more. And maybe he could cut down on the strikeouts some, or, you know, take even the next step in his progression as a hitter.
Yeah, there we go. That's why it works so well. We, you know, bounce off each other and help each other out. So that's good. Yeah, swing change makes a lot of sense in that case. And like I said, makes it a little bit easier to handle him coming over, him being, you know, probably lower in the order if he came to the Dodgers. You know, there's a lot of other factors that could help out, or having better hitters behind him, whatever it is. But he seems like a good option. But like I said, the Reds may be asking a lot for him. So at the end of the day, I still believe that Justin Turner is going to return, and that's really all the Dodgers get. But I'm not going to lie, the more I see DJ LeMahieu's name linked to the Dodgers, the more I, you know, get excited.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And that's what I said yesterday. I wasn't on board the LeMahieu train 2 years ago, but I'm all aboard right now. Choo-choo.
Yeah. Yeah, someone asked me on Twitter if he said he wanted LeMahieu a couple years ago, but a lot of people, you know, Dodger fans weren't really in on him. And he asked if the perception of him had changed. And obviously it has changed. He went over to the Yankees and was better than he was with the Rockies. And, you know, even the Yankee Stadium being small, he still was good all around. So obviously the public perception has changed on him a little. And that in turn, the Dodgers fans' perceptions of him turns around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's natural to be skeptical about a guy who's played the vast majority of his career in Coors Field, and the entirety of his career as a good player in Coors Field. And now that he's been even better outside of Coors Field, yeah, my perception has definitely changed.
All right, Jeff, do you have anything else to add to third base or in general?
No, I'm kind of dreading when the Dodgers actually do answer their third base question, just because, I mean, it'll give us a couple days of content, but right now we speculate on this every day. But, you know, it'll probably be better once we actually know who's going to be playing third base for them.
The other thing that we probably should add real quick is that Robert Murray reported that the Dodgers have strong interest in Liam Hendricks, a guy that we've talked about extensively before. Hendricks did go visit the Blue Jays complex today and has interest from other teams. This is the first we've kind of seen of Dodgers having strong interest.
Yeah, but that's Robert Murray. No, I'm just kidding. I like Bert. He used to write for me at Baseball Essential. Actually, that was his first paid writing gig was writing for me. And look what he's become. So, yeah, that's no surprise that the Dodgers are in on Liam Hendricks. And obviously, third base, right-handed bat, and bullpen are their priority areas. And so I'm not seeing any big surprises.
Yeah, as we've mentioned before, Hendricks would be kind of perfect considering it's Jansen's last year. And if he stays good and they sign him to a multi-year deal, then he would basically inherit a closer role as early as this season, but if not, for sure next season. All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to come back tomorrow if there's any new rumors or anything else out there. If not, we'll have something else Dodger related to talk about. And the rest of the week, we're here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. Make sure to tell your friends and family about us. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to listen every day if you can. And tell other people to listen to us every day if they can. And then if we're all doing that and word of mouth gets out there, then hey, Locked On Dodgers is climbing up the charts of the iTunes podcast or Spotify podcast, whatever. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. Shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye.